Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
Let's pray before we start. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you so much. It is your gift to us. Thank you. Now, we ask, please, that by your Spirit you would help us to understand something from it. We pray, please, soften our hearts. Help us to grasp something of the gospel, of your amazing love for us in Christ. And we ask in his name. Amen. Amen. I wonder, what are you most afraid of? For some, it will be big things, like, where am I going to sleep tonight? Or, will I have enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month? And for others, it will be pressures at work, that deadline, or that important meeting, the expectations. For others, it will be this felt anxiety over what people think of you, never quite believing that you're liked or accepted. Or maybe it's fear that comes from failing health and even the prospect of death itself. Now, we all know, don't we, some kind of fear. And yet, what is it that's at the heart of that fear? If we were to strip away all of the layers, okay, and get to the inner core, the center of what that fear is really all about, I wonder what that would be. And I think in Romans, Paul taps into something that which I think is a part of every one of us here this afternoon, something that speaks into our fears. And it's all to do with this word, righteousness. In fact, in Romans, the first chapter of Paul's letter, he lays out a part of his purpose for writing. And he says this in chapter 1, verse 14. He says, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That's why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And I wonder, when we think of the word of the gospel, there are many words that come to mind, aren't there? Forgiveness, mercy, grace, rescue. Yet righteousness, probably not the top of our list. Yet Paul mentions the word righteousness in the book of Romans 31 times, more than any other of the New Testament books. So what does it mean? Well, originally the word righteousness literally means a judicial verdict. That is, a judicial approval, or the verdict of approval. Imagine a judge, okay, just think of it this way, the judge in the courtroom, and the judge says, guilty, not guilty. And in the New Testament, this word righteousness means divine approval, or God's judicial approval, the approval of God. After his examination after he's looked at all of the evidence, what is approved in his eyes. And this is why I think it's got something to do with our fears, because deep in each of us, there is this spiritual longing for God. And as we've seen, haven't we, earlier in the book of Romans, sin has messed things up. And so I'm forever wondering, am I really good enough? Will I measure up? And we try, don't we, to prove our worth in the things around us. Yet this is only evidence for a problem that's deep within us. And so the word righteousness, my approval and right standing before God. Okay, to give you an example from my life, when I was 15, I really wanted to be a vet. That was my kind of life ambition. And I probably read too much James Herriot and had visions of driving a green Land Rover around Yorkshire, saving cows, that kind of thing. And I thought, well, okay, I want to be a vet. So what are the requirements to be a vet? So I looked into it and quickly realized that I needed a grade B or above in English. Okay, fine. Grade A in maths. Okay, got a C. A-levels, 3 A's, including chemistry and biology. Got 1 C and 2 E's, I think. You see, the requirement of what it takes to train to become a vet, and you either meet the requirement or you don't meet the requirement. See, this is how I needed to perform if I'm going to get a place in vet school. It's a small example, but don't we live that way? If you look close enough, you live as though we're on trial. And the job that we do, the clothes that we wear, the things that we say, the car that we drive, they're all there to prove our worth. And we're all looking for something to say, this is it. This is the reason I am here. This is the cry of every human heart to be accepted, to be wanted, to belong. And do you feel it in your fears, whatever they may be? Or enter the good news of the gospel. You see, it's true, the evidence is all around us. We've seen it, haven't we? The charge from 2 weeks ago in verse 9 to 10 in Romans chapter 3, that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous. And God rightly looks at us and he says, in ourselves, you fall short of my requirements. Verse 23 of our passage tonight, this afternoon, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the verdict is guilty. And this is why the gospel is such more than forgiveness of sins. I love Tim Keller's words on this. He says, justification, which comes from the same word as righteousness. He says, justification is far more than forgiveness and pardon. Forgiveness says, you may go. Justification says, you may come. You see, we look out there for the thing that's going to prove my worth, the job, possession, person, experience, thinking that out there is the thing that's going to justify my existence, making me feel like a worthwhile person. Or even now in here, we're being told, aren't we? There was an advert by Sky recently, and they used the song by, I think, Sammy Davis Jr. And, you know, these are some of the words. I want to live, not merely survive, and I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I've got to be me. I've got to be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. I'll go it alone. That's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I've got to be free. I've got to be free, daring to try to do it or die. I've got to be me. You see, live your dreams. Do what you want. Be who you want to be. Don't you see? But it doesn't work. It's a lie. Whether you look out there, looking here, you won't find it. The verdict that we're all looking for, the not guilty, that you're worth it. It was never meant to be down to me and my efforts. You see, yes, the evidence is against us, isn't it? We've seen it in Romans, and we're all looking to be justified. And I think Paul's words now, they cut through the grain of society. The society then in Rome, but also the society now. Look at verse 21. He says, but now, notice that, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. See, you remember how God had given his law, his rules for living life his way. And it was tempting for the Jews, and even for us, to think that our righteousness, that is our the declaration that we're not guilty and meet God's standards, could be found in following the law. But Paul says no. A righteousness apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. That is, that even the law is pointing away from itself. So where is this righteousness? Well, it's not out there. It's not in here. It's not in the law. The wonder of the gospel is, look at verse 22, this righteousness, says Paul, is given through faith in Jesus Christ. See, God's perfect record, his requirements, is not something we can earn. This verdict of not guilty, this approval of being found right in his sight, is something, did you see it there? It's given to us through faith, read on, in Jesus Christ, to all who believe. So whether you're rich or poor, whether you're young or old, whether you've got A-levels or no levels, doesn't count for anything. Doesn't. See, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. See, this was the great truth that sort of stirred Martin Luther and kick-started the Protestant Reformation. I'm going to read, this is a brilliant book, The Amazing Cross. I don't know if it's on the bookstall. It might be. But this is something that he says about Martin Luther. Here lays the answer to Luther's struggle. Yes, God was supremely righteous. It was right for him to fear him. It was right to ask the troubling question, how can sinful men and women reach the exacting standards of the righteousness of God? But there was a glorious answer. The gospel was all about a righteousness that God gives us as a free gift. It isn't something we can earn or a standard we have to reach. We don't have to shave our heads, commit ourselves to a monastery, and focus on doing spiritual exercises. What a breakthrough that was. Luther's glass ceiling had been shattered. So you see, righteousness freely given. And so how does it work? Well, with all this evidence against us, this charge that we are under sin, that there's no one righteous, and now knowing that this righteousness has been given as a free gift. The question I think came to my mind was, did God just say, well, okay, did he just write off the debt? Did he just wave his hand and say, you can go? Well, no. You see, what makes the gospel such good news is this. It's that in it, we don't just see God's grace, but we see his immeasurable love in the way that he declares us righteous, the way that he justifies us in his sight. Verse 24, all are justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. You see, God must punish our sin. Otherwise, he's not just. As a right and just judge, to have confidence in God's justice, he must deal with the problem of sin. And he does just that. But the price that we deserve to pay for our treachery, for our failings, the guilt that we carry, was laid upon Jesus at the cross. The redemption that for each of us came by Christ Jesus. And redemption, that's another big word. Redemption meaning that on each of us, on each of our heads, was a ransom, a price for our sin that must be paid. And as a hostage is released upon payment, so we were released by the payment that came through the shedding of the blood of Christ. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. What a glorious redemption, a glorious truth there. We're going to watch a video which I think helps to just explain this a little further. So let's just watch the video for a minute.
I know that there are people watching this video and in this room who are not trusting Jesus Christ and therefore can only expect condemnation. And so I'm just going to plead with you, lay down that rebellion. Lay it down. And simply embrace the gospel that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the righteous one, died for your sins. He was raised on the third day, triumphant over all his enemies. He reigns until he puts all of his enemies under his feet. Forgiveness of sins and a right standing with God comes freely through him alone, by faith alone.
Perfect mountain.
I don't know where you are today, what fears might be driving you. Perhaps there is something, perhaps there is something that's become the thing that you're beginning to believe will give you purpose and meaning. And can I say that the good news of the gospel, see it. The freedom of knowing that your acceptance before God has nothing to do with your performance. He loves you. He accepts you. He approves of you. He delights in you. And he's shown you this in what he has done in Christ. And this righteousness, this verdict of not guilty, comes by faith in Jesus. Verse 22, the righteousness is given through faith. Verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice to be received by faith. Verse 26, he did it to demonstrate his righteousness, the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. I'm going to close by some words of Alistair Begg, and then I'll pray. Satan comes in our imaginations into the courtroom, and he says to the Father, look at that sinner. How can you declare him justified? Well, yes, says the Father. They are a sinner. The charges you bring are valid. But will you look at my son's hands and look at my son's feet? And will you look at the wounds in my son's side? Who are you to condemn? It is Christ who justifies. Let's pray. Father, for many of us here today, we will know a deep sense of condemnation of things we've done in the past, fears of the future. And we ask now that you would come and you would take these from us. Thank you that in Christ, and by faith, you have made it possible for us to know complete forgiveness. Thank you that your approval of us, your acceptance of us, comes not by our works, not by our efforts, but freely as a gift in Christ. So we thank you for all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus. And we ask that you would help us to live for him, to love him, to look to him. And we ask this for your glory in his name. Amen.